rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Father, we pray that you be with the leaders of your flock and their needs today. Help your bishops and priests to interpret the gospel message with clarity and with urgency, witnessing in their own lives to the teaching and example of Christ. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter in the New Testament. Don't let that be lost on you. You're reading the New Testament, this is the first part. The very first thing you're going to read. The fourth Sunday in Advent always marks the first step in the Christmas story. This is like the preamble to what you're going to see on Christmas Eve. Okay, it's the preamble to the greatest story ever told. I woke up yesterday morning to another foot of snow on top of the two that we had already gotten previously that week. And when I had checked the weather forecast the night before, it had said it was going to be 2 inches. There we go. And then later that afternoon, it's raining. So, you know, 'tis the season. And I was struck with how amazing and how unexpected life can be. It can be so unexpected. My first thought looking outside was, really? Seriously? Sometimes life just doesn't go how you expect it will. In this final installment of our sermon series, we look at another sentinel. And if you're looking at your handout, that title is not correct. Joseph was not a prisoner of war, so if you could cross that out, if you are the type of person who keeps notes, the title should be A Faithful Sentinel. The Faithful Sentinel. We look at another sentinel today, another character who watched and listened. And when God spoke, he obeyed. Now, let's have a test. Not a test, but an exercise. Practice. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to tell me what you see immediately in your mind's eye. Okay? Ready? Christmas. You see Jesus. Mississippi mud. Okay, that's an odd one. Didn't expect that. Unexpected. It fits the theme. Okay. We see Jesus. Anything else?
Cookies.
Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Anyone see shepherds? Maybe, yeah.
Little lambs.
A star, maybe. Some wise men.
Glitter.
I'm willing to bet one of the last things that you see is Joseph. He's probably one of the last ones. Because so often we emphasize Mary and Jesus, and rightfully so. But today's a day where we're going to focus in on that guy who, for some reason, wears a pink sash every year. I don't know why. I always was confused. Anyone else confused by why Joseph wore pink? I never understood that. Anyway, it's just me. I want you to picture a middle-aged man. He's got a few kids. He lost his wife. He's found a reasonable solution. After all, who knows how much longer he'll be around. It's in his best interest and his children's best interest, his home's best interest, to find someone, to have someone else, to have a partner, to help run his house, to help raise his children. So he contacts a couple, and he works out an arrangement, and it's the perfect arrangement, because their daughter is dedicated to being a temple virgin. At that time, some young girls would dedicate their whole lives. Like, think of how we have nuns today. This was kind of like the nuns of that day. They dedicated their lives to purity and to holiness and to prayer. And so you would see them in the temple, And they would be welcoming people in at times of worship. They would be fixing vestments. They would be cleaning the bloodstains of sacrifice that happened pretty regularly. They were essential, and they were part of the holy spiritual nature of their culture. Okay, so he contacts this couple, and it's perfect because she still needs to be married to have legal protection, to have financial stability. They didn't live in a convent. They still lived in their homes, but they would come in and serve in the temple. Okay, so it was a perfect situation. Because if she remained unmarried, she would be vulnerable. She wouldn't have a fullness of life that was considered to be desirable. And so Joseph was an honorable man. He was going to support this young woman in achieving what she had dedicated her life to. Matthew, interestingly enough, he begins his record of Jesus' life and his ministry not with shepherds, not with sheep and kings, or even a Baptist. It's not how he starts. Matthew begins with a genealogy. Now, if I was writing a book that was, here's why you should believe in Jesus, I don't think I'd start with a genealogy. Just doesn't seem like a good attention grabber. You know, it's not a very good hook. But he does. He begins with this history of Joseph's lineage. And make no mistake, this story, this year, in year A of the liturgical season, is the story of Joseph. You're going to see today, you're going to see on Christmas Eve, and you're going to see throughout the Christmas season, the stories being told through the eyes of Joseph. Okay? I want you to notice that this year. Joseph, this son of David, this man of royal lineage, this good and honorable man who had suffered loss in life, he was a simple, hardworking man. He worked with his hands, and now faced with the dilemma of a life alone, this man of noble blood, living a quiet life, makes a decision. And we're going to see the navigation of God's plan for his life. So if you have your Bibles, please turn it to Matthew chapter 1. And if you don't have your Bibles, we have some here for you, or if you prefer, we have them on the handouts. We're going to begin at chapter 18. Okay, so we're skipping the genealogy. It's good to know that it's there, so that you can see that he was a descendant of Abraham and of David. But we're going to start after that. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And if you're reading it honestly, and if you forgot that you've been to church a long time, you'd be like, uh-huh, right. Sure, that's how it happened. Uh-huh. The Holy Spirit. Excellent. Perfect. We'll blame God. Excellent. I'm sure it wasn't Joey P. living down the road who was this nice 14-year-old boy. No. Couldn't be him. Before going any further, I want you to notice Matthew says she was betrothed. Okay, get this very clear. She was not an unwed mother. Some people frame her in that way, like that she was in danger of certain medical procedures. That wasn't the deal. Okay, she was betrothed. In our society, the formal process of becoming married has two steps. You could say three if you're dating, but two in the formal process. There's engagement and the wedding. And after the wedding, you're married. Poof, done. You're married. That's the moment where you become married. During engagement, you're not married, and you can break it off with no legal obligations. After the wedding, you're married, you can live together, you can have all the benefits and responsibilities that go with being married. And the moment of change is the wedding. But Joseph's society didn't work that way. They didn't have a two-step process, they had a three-step process. They had engagement, betrothal, and the wedding. And it was after you became betrothed that you were married. Okay? So they had already been engaged. They've already been betrothed. So they're married. Did you ever realize Joseph has a wife who got pregnant? This wasn't like somebody he had an engagement with. No, no, no. This was his wife. Okay, they are married. And I can just imagine what was going through his head. 14-year-old girl, about to begin living with the man that she was already married to. Because when you were betrothed, you were married, but you hadn't yet gone to live with your husband. That was after the wedding. That was the procedure. That was the way that things laid out. So imagine your 14-year-old wife about to begin living with you, who she knew that she would never know him sexually. That was not the plan. She was never going to be with him, if you know what I'm saying, okay? This girl who had vowed herself to celibacy, all of a sudden the news comes out, and maybe Mary's parents were the ones to break it to him, to reveal it to him. Maybe it got through him, through the grapevine. She's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. Your wife, your new wife, is going to have a baby, and you've never been alone with her. So that rules out one option. Doesn't take much imagination to see what he might have been thinking. Maybe it was he was thinking that she fell in love with a young guy from that section of town. Maybe she just couldn't resist. Maybe she was violated. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. In any case, one thing was clear to him. This is not going to work. This is just not going to work. Read what it says, verse 19. And her husband Joseph, notice it says her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. In the old days, she would have been subject to stoning under the book of Exodus. But don't forget, they're under Roman occupation. So execution, they weren't allowed to do it. Okay, so capital punishment wasn't allowed for them. The Romans had taken that authority away. And so he couldn't really do that, and I don't think he really would have. He could have gone after her reputation. He could have slandered her name and drug it through the mud all through the center of town. He could have went after their family and brought shame on them and just heaped piles and piles of shame on her and on her family. He could have called her nasty names. But he didn't. He was going to keep it quiet, to let her and her parents figure it out. He was going to have to find another way to build his family. He didn't want to have anything to do with that. So let's just quietly and honorably, in a just way, let it just slowly slip away. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, where Isaiah said in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What the heck kind of dream is that? Like, note to self, no more chili after 10 o'clock. God, why, you know? Don't you see, Joseph still had a choice. He has a dream, and he's got a choice. He could have totally dismissed it. He could have blown it off and be like, man, that was crazy. But instead, he decided to have faith in the signs that God had given to him. Signs that God was not only wanting him to go through with the marriage, but signs that God was keeping his promise to all the people of the whole world. This would have been, without a doubt, for the first time he would have heard anything like this, outside of prophecy. So I could imagine the angels came down and said, I want you to know your son's going to be a star football player. And I'd be like, yes, all right, cool, got it. Maybe the angel would say, he's going to take over the family business someday. Great, perfect. He's going to save Israel from the Romans. Well, I'm a little less okay with that, but still plausible. Got it. He's going to save his people, the people of the world, from their sins. Huh? Say what? They weren't expecting that. He wasn't expecting that. This is so much bigger than a marriage. This is so much bigger than one child. This is so much bigger than a young girl fooling around. It's the fate of the world we're talking about here. And God wants me to be a part of it. And what a part I'll play in the midst of doubt and of rational objections, of practicality, even in the midst of his rights. He had a right to that divorce. Even in the midst of that, Joseph was a sentinel. He saw the signs that God had given to him, and he chose to believe. He believed the word of the Lord that this was not just the birth of a child, but the birth of God made flesh. The birth of the Messiah, the Savior. Think of the implications for this man's life. His plan, his life was all planned out. He was going to raise his kids, keep being a carpenter, enjoy his daily labor, maybe have a nice retirement someday. And that was it. That's the plan. Think of how much changed because of that dream. He had not been expecting to have any more children. His wife was gone. He already had his kids. James, the brother of Jesus, and his other brothers and sisters of Jesus. And now here's Joseph given the awesome task of being the guide, of being the earthly father, the mentor, one with a close personal relationship, to be the protector, to be the deliverer, a father to this coming child. What a gift. What a task. What a job. Joseph here is being called to action. He's being called to be active and to participate, to serve. Believe and act, Joseph. On this last Sunday of Christmas, we're given a model of how one man had God break into his life, and he was given a choice. The choice was, will you be a part of God saving the world? Will you be a part of that? He's given you signs. He's calling you to action, and today, God is asking you that same question. Will you believe the signs? Will you allow yourself to be called to action? Will you choose to believe and to participate? Will you be a part of God's saving of the world? This is the Christmas message. That God loved us so much that he would become one with us and one of us. He broke into our world to give us a choice where we had no choice before. And it all started with Joseph. Do we have the faith, the courage, the boldness of Joseph, the son of David? Because through him and his decision, the whole world was changed. How will you let God change your world? I want to finish with the last two verses of this reading today. Verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He acted. He took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph is the actor. Joseph called him Jesus, this faithful sentinel named the faithful Savior. Jesus chose to believe and act. Will you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.
With all our heart,
Bye.
for the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.